The Gates of Paradise. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1. 1880. Norina tore open the letter with a strange stamp that had just been delivered and gave a cry of excitement. She read it through twice carefully in order to be quite certain she had not made a mistake. Then she ran down the passage towards her father's study. The Very Right Reverend John Kenwyn, Bishop of St. Albans, was busy composing his sermon for the next day, which was Palm Sunday. He was a good-looking man with a deep voice that captivated every member of his congregation. The third son of a distinguished statesman, he had gone into the church, as was the tradition in his family. He had an outstanding intellect, and together with his irresistible charm, he rose rapidly to become a bishop just after he was 50, and it was already taken for granted by many that he would be the next Archbishop of Canterbury. His father, Lord Kenwyn, had behaved traditionally with all his three sons. The eldest son had gone into the Life Guards, as had a great number of the men of his family before him. He had been stationed at Windsor Castle. There he not only guarded Queen Victoria, but had swiftly become a trusted confidant, whose advice she often sought. He married one of Her Majesty's ladies-in-waiting, and now he was approaching the age of retirement, he was a highly respected member of her household. The second son of Lord Kenwyn had gone into the Navy, where he enjoyed the chance it gave him of seeing the world, and had recently been promoted to Admiral. With such an impressive family background, it was not surprising that Norina was exceedingly intelligent. She had left her school with a prize for practically every subject she had been interested in. In addition to her brain, she was also outstandingly beautiful. It was not only the beauty of her features that were almost classical in their perfection. The expression in her eyes was enchanting, and her charming manner she had inherited from her father. When she reached the study door, she opened it very carefully. She peeped in to see if her father was alone, and, as he was, she went in. Moving quietly up to him, she put her hands on his shoulders and bent over to kiss his cheek. "Oh, it is you, Norina," he exclaimed. "Who else did you think was kissing you, Papa?" He smiled at her. "You know I am busy with my sermon." "Yes, Papa, but I really had to interrupt you to tell you about this exciting letter I have just received." Her father sat back in his chair, realizing it must be important, or his daughter would not have bothered him. "It has come by special messenger from London. And who do you think it's from?"
"I'm not going to guess," he replied, "because, as you can see, I am very busy."
"Then I will tell you. It is from Louise, Princess Louise, now reigning in Alexanderburg."
"Oh, I remember her well. A very pretty girl who I know was your greatest friend at school."
"I love her dearly. We were always together. Because we are so remarkably alike, the teachers used to call us the twins."
"And you have just heard from her, Norina?"
He gently prompted her, knowing that if she started reminiscing about her friend Louise, he would not be able to finish his sermon. "I have not heard from Louise for quite some time, and now she has written to me, saying it is very urgent, and if I love her, I must join her at once in Alexanderburg." The bishop looked surprised.
"Join her at once, Norina?"
"Yes. She did not say why, but just wrote that she needs me, and feels certain that I will not fail her."